On. Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. My name is Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show, and I am joined today by Laura Berkley. So she has been coaching minds, transforming communication, and unlocking inner power since before it was even cool. She is a relating and communicating coach who's been at this game since 1996. She's a speaker, a writer, a trainer, and an all-round word wizard who is obsessed in the best way with how we talk to ourselves. She believes in what you say kind of paves the way. And today she's here to help us uncover some harmless words we use every day, but we're also here to talk about resentment and why it is the silent killer. Before we get started, I want to send a shout out to Spreaker and iHeartRadio. Thank you so much for your sponsorship. Without you, this would not be possible. And to our audience, thank you for showing up. We love you so much. If you could hit that like and subscribe button, we would appreciate it so much because without you, we can't grow our show. Welcome to the show, Laura. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you so much.
Good, good. And remind me, you told me earlier, you're in America. Where are you coming in from again?
I am in the good Midwest, right in the middle of the country, in like 4 hours south of Chicago.
4 hours south of Chicago. Okay, cool. And what's the weather like out there?
It is actually perfect spring, which we rarely get. So it's like low 70s, high 60s, sunny, clear, still, birds are chirping. It's beautiful.
Nice. So that doesn't sound resentful. I'm trying to be quirky in the way we get into today's topic, but my brain's not functioning right now. We're going to talk about resentment today. Do you want to give the audience a little background of who you are before we get into that and why you're so passionate about all of this stuff and getting this out there in the world?
Yeah, sure. So I have been coaching individuals for the last 30 years, and specifically on how they think and therefore how they behave. And after so many years of doing that, and many of my clients, a lot of their grumblings, their challenges, things they had to overcome was what was going on in relationships around them, at work, at home, in love. And so as the longer I worked, the more I realized, like, oh my gosh, like for this person that I'm working with one-on-one to really thrive and be able to kind of continue creating the life they love, they kind of need this other person in their life or whoever they're working with to be on the same page with them. And so then I realized, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I really should be working with people in a relationship and helping them both kind of buff up, build a better me, so to speak, for relationship success. And again, whether that's parent-child, that's a love relationship or a work relationship. And so I kind of started to migrate from working one-on-one to working with relationships.
Okay, and so what you mean by that is you kind of get each individual to kind of get more confident with who they are. Do you find that that's the most successful is when both parties are comfortable with themselves? Do you find that that really helps the relationship?
Oh yeah, we're all a system. We all have our own unique system, and how that system was built is also very unique. And so there are ways, there's just things that, like, if you just, I don't know how to say this. If you, it's what I call smoothing out. It's like smoothing out the rough edges. And when two people are kind of smoothing out, they're shaping themselves in a similar fashion, they're just going to be more coherent. There's going to be a lot more harmony. And they're going to understand one another better. And that is what I help couples do.
Amazing. That sounds so rewarding.
It is. It is.
So let's talk about resentment. How do you define resentment?
So, the really simple, short definition I use is resentment is past hurt and past anger that has not been resolved or completed by the person who's feeling it. That is the simple definition of it. Yeah.
So, where does it come from?
Very good question, because it comes from certainly experiences one is having between another person, but it really is born from our history. We're our developmental years. So really what one will start to experience resentment in a love relationship or a parent-child relationship or again like a coworker relationship, what they're experiencing today and feeling hurt or angry about is usually it's rubbing up against an old memory or a hurtful narrative the person has. And so it's really that person's reminding me of a past hurt and a past anger or sadness that I've had, and then now you're the one that I'm hurt about when really it stems from somewhere in the in long, long ago. Now that said, there can be resentment that builds between two people that also is just about the interaction and the interpersonal relating or experience you're having with a person. It can also be that, but usually almost everything we're doing is bouncing off of what has happened in our earlier years that is not resolved or healed.
Isn't that interesting? Like, it's just every little thing kind of affects our behaviors on what we're doing now. And if we understand that and unpack that, it can change the way we react to future situations, because we know it's coming from a place of learned behavior. Can you give us an example of like a little resentment, like that, something that might not even you would think is a resentment, but a real life example of a resentment from childhood?
So, I always like just to use myself as an example because it's
Mm-hmm.
like, yeah, I know the story, it's real, it's authentic, and I can really share a real example. And this literally just happened this morning. So I
Perfect.
had I had told my husband something. I had told him something about work. And for me in my system, my private little world, I was very proud. I felt so proud about this and I felt so accomplished about this and I felt good about this thing I shared with him. And the way that he had responded was more the focus on the thing versus me. Like, so he's like, oh, that's really cool if that happens versus, wow, Laura, good for you. You did such a great job. You do such a good job. And that, and I felt that. Now, my husband and I, we've done all this work, so we know how to have this engagement, this interaction that I'm going to tell you about. We can do it very well because we've practiced it and we've conditioned it because we were intentional. We want to have a peaceful, easy, and harmonious relationship. And we still have our challenges, but we are learning and we've got legs on how to do this. Lots of couples do not. So when he did not say, Laura, good job. You know, that's just how good you are. And he said something about the topic. I was just quiet. And I was like, yeah, okay, well, have a, you know, I'll talk to you later because you're at work. But he caught it. He heard me. Now, let's just say 5 years ago, he would not have heard me. And I would not have just been calm when he kind of basically overlooked me and just talked about the subject. So most people, that's what they do, and me, that's what I used to do, is I would feel like, oh, okay, so you don't care. Oh, you can't see me, or oh, you, why can't you compliment me? Why can't you make me feel good in this moment? Which of course is pure ego, but we live with our egos and we have to live with our egos. And then that could have turned into now I'm hurt. I feel overlooked. I feel dismissed. And so then we hang up the phone. And now for the rest of the day, maybe I'm not feeling so great about him. And when he texts me, I don't text him back. Or when he gets home, I'm kind of silent. Or I know I don't really want to sit and do something with you this evening after dinner. That's resentment. And then, and here's how it kills connection, intimacy, and trust in a relationship. If I, the one who feels hurt and angry, doesn't find a way to speak up and share that without blaming the person, and this is what's very hard for most people because they just don't know this. They think it is the person not loving them or caring them about them. Then any future infraction or affliction to my emotional state or yours, it just adds to the pile. Or you keep reinforcing, as you talked about, you keep reinforcing the same thing. The person doesn't care, doesn't care, doesn't care, doesn't care about my feelings, doesn't care about my success, doesn't care about my feelings. Every single time, that's all you can see. So when couples come and work with me, that is, they both bring in a huge bag of resentment.
Totally.
And here's what most, I think, couples therapy does, and I just think this is the big miss. Couples therapy is designed, and I'm not a therapist, I am a coach. But typical therapy is like, okay, well, let's identify the problem and then let's get solutions to the problem. But here's the thing, if you, Lisa, feel really hurt by me, and I feel really hurt by you. And they're like, well, here's what you can do together. Why don't you go out and have tea? Why don't you guys go work out together? Why don't you guys sit and like make a plan of how you're gonna have the perfect relationship? Really, how we feel right now is no. Like, it's like, no, why should I do something for that person who's continually hurting me? So the very first thing I do with couples is we've got to address the resentment. And not just address it. Well, she's hurt because of this, and you're hurt because of this. We have to clear it out. And I have a very efficient, easy way to help couples do that. That there's no raised voices, there are no hateful, hurtful tears. If there's any tears at all, it's an absolute piercing of connection to the heart, and it's very simple. And it's languaging. And that's what I help couples with, is how do you say this in a way where your partner's going to stay relaxed and hear you, and not just hear you, feel, oh, I feel her hurt, her pain, her sadness, because I know hurt and pain and sadness also. That's where connection is. And so that is what I help couples do, is get rid of the resentment first. And then once you feel like, I see you, I see you, I feel you, I feel you, now let's talk about what we can do so we don't do this again. Now we're co-creative again, we're partners again.
Having communication in a way without emotional reaction in just like a logical sense. So when you're speaking, I'm picturing, the deep-rooted issue, because there's always a deep-rooted issue that escalates. And then, as you said, everything piles on top. Everything keeps piling on top, but it's based on this one deep-rooted, whatever it is, it's an insecurity, whether it's something that we're holding on to. When I first got into my relationship with my current partner, I had to really take a look at myself and my insecurities and how I was projecting that onto situations that had nothing to do with what he was doing. But it's all like this story that's manifesting that I'm creating because of the stuff that I've been through in the past, right? So, and when I was able to let go of that and like really address that and know it wasn't about him, it was about me, that was powerful. And the fact that you can do that in your everyday work, that must be it's exciting and rewarding, and I love psychology, so it kind of gets me fired up. But what a benefit for people, because there is, it's a deep-rooted issue, and we project our emotions onto other people based on those experiences. So yeah, I'm picturing this issue buried so deep in the sand, and you're helping couples kind of shovel out the other stuff to get to that.
Yeah, and here's the positive consequence that happens when two people who really love each other, they chose each other. And what brought them together was, for a while at the beginning, here's a person I trust. Here's a person I feel connected to. Here's a person I feel sees me, right? That is why we choose one person over maybe, the 50, 100 that we've met that we wouldn't choose, right? But then, so then we get into this little experience with them that grows. And then, and Harville Hendrix talks about this. He talks about we pick, in fact, more our subconscious or our unconscious mind. It surveys and it scans and it finds the right person to pick who is going to actually help you heal. So first you have this, you have what you see as the potential of the connection. Oh my gosh, I've never felt this way before. This feels amazing. But then when you get close and really vulnerable and you start exposing or continuing to expose yourself, but then you don't get the reactions or the soothing or the help that you need, then you kind of start to turn on the partner, right? Your narrative turns, it changes, and you start to see them differently. And so what I get to do is I get to help couples actually have this conversation and see each other and kind of get back to that, but with skill. It's not luck or random. It's like I show you, here's how to dialogue about this in a very, and I have a template, a very simple way to do it. That's just, it's a natural too. It's not unnatural speak. It's real natural speak. So that then you find you're like, oh, here's the connection again. And then healing gets to actually happen. The very thing that you, some part of your consciousness knew, this person's going to help me heal this, that healing is done. And then not only is the connection secured between you and your person again, but now you walk away like whole, like I filled in some holes here. My partner helped me, even with the negative experience, and then clearing out together, I feel whole. And now I turn to the world, and now I am not operating from that same system, the same program, and kind of bull in a china shop kind of making mess in other relationships or having really disempowering narratives running through my head about the world because I had this wound. And we all have wounding. You can't get away from it. You can't, and it's not because everybody came from abusive experience. That's not what wounding means. Wounding means we have an ego that is so fragile, and we're nowhere still yet is there education on understanding what the ego is and how the ego works. And that's another thing I help my couples understand. Here's the ego, and here's the true self, or the soul self, the spirit self, and how they both how you actually have to work with both of them in your lifetime.
Interesting. So I want to get back to resentment, and because it can show up in your life in different ways, and there's emotional and physical symptoms. Do you want to talk to us about some of the ways that resentment shows up in a not in a physical way?
Not in a physical way.
Not in a
Yes.
physical way. And then we'll touch on the physical.
Yeah, sure. So one way, so first thing resentment does to any relationship you have and you feel hurt or anger towards a sister, a cousin, an old best friend that you're no longer friends, be sure that any like the hurt and the sadness and the anger you have, that's just another way of saying I have resentment towards that person because they did this or they didn't do that, and I still feel that. So it erodes immediately, like I said earlier, connection and intimacy and trust with that person. So now there is, in many cases, there's no relationship at all. Even if you're still interacting, there's not a, and then some you just completely like, I'm not taking her calls. I don't want to know where he is or whatever. Another way, another negative consequence is it impairs your judgment. So let's just say it's a relationship with somebody who's in your family, you know, or that you do work with. And so you are interacting with them every single day, but you've now been afflicted. You've got some hurt or pain or sadness that you have decided that person has inflicted on me. And so then anything, because you hold that resentment, it skews your perception, your true understanding of that person. So now, and the longer that resentment goes, it's getting momentum. It's getting stronger. So anything you see that person doing, it's hard to actually see what's really being done because you've got this filter between you and that person that says that person doesn't care. That person's selfish. That person's, you know, whatever you want to fill in the blank with. And so then you're not really seeing what's really happening because you're only nursing the narrative that you have. And this is what the ego does. And the ego does it to protect itself. It's not because our egos are these horrible villains. It's just the ego is so limited, and that's all it knows to do because it's a very base brain part of ourselves is protect itself. So then it thinks, if I just remember this and keep saying this about that person, then I'm just protecting myself. And so it's innocent, I think. Personally, in my view is, oh my God, we're all so innocent on this, but it can be disastrous. It can be ugly. It can be harmful. It can turn out abusive, how you behave because of the resentment. Because of the resentment, it's just so not necessary.
What about the physical symptoms? So, can resentment actually harm our body? What
It can.
ways does it show up in our body?
Well, emotion, so our head is not, our head doesn't feel the feelings. Our body feels the feelings. So our head labels anger, but our body feels anger. Our head labels sadness, but our body. So, and what emotions and feelings are is just energy. And it's energy running in a particular pattern. And so when you have the unpleasant, we'll call it, the unpleasant patterns or energy running through your body, and it can get stuck in certain places, then like it does, it manifests physical, so physical, what do I want to say? I don't want, I'll say dis-ease, right? We'll use the word disease in the way that.
Yes,
Okay,
love that.
so like it could be exhaustion. That's probably one of the first things is you lose a sense of vibrancy and energy because it's all being taken by this experience that you're having. Another symptom could be not sleeping well because how could this is horrible. I shouldn't be here. This shouldn't have happened. Whatever, right? So then you're all up all night with your head spinning, and then sometimes it can literally be. I have a rash on my arm. and I just itch it furiously, right? Or I'm not feeling well, like my, I have stomach aches, and that's just body by body. Everyone's kind of got their little frail points or the way their system works and where energy is going to attack it quickly. So yeah, that's the physical negative consequences of resentment.
Yeah, I love how you say it takes away the vibrancy, because you can literally see it on somebody's body, face, the way they're carrying themselves when they're in a negative emotional space, I guess, right? Like you can see that they're just not shining and bright, and they're holding on to something almost like they're weighted down. And so I love how you said that. Their vibrancy is missing. And one of the best books I've ever read that changed the whole trajectory of understanding myself was The Body Keeps the Score.
Yes.
Because it taught me, I had so many aha moments on why it's so important to let that go and to work on the body to release some of that. So that's where I want to go with this conversation next, if you don't mind, is like, can you give our audience some of the tools for releasing resentment? How do we recognize it, and then how do we actually let it go so that it's not trapped in our bodies?
Yeah. So, great question. And so here's the way I say it. So of course, I think it's normal. It's normal and it's very common that in the thinking of a person who is interested in relationship, any kind of relationship, and wants to be connected and close to people, it's normal to think, and it's very common that, oh, I'm going to hang around with this person, or I'm going to date that person because that person makes me feel good. Right? And so then in a way, we are needing, we're requiring, we have kind of a built-in expectation that that person's going to do this for me. And that's not horrible. It's kind of how we've been taught, and it's kind of how what was modeled over all these decades and years.
Totally.
So that's common and that's normal. But the languaging I want people to really hear and understand is that there's an image I use is that, so you know what a feeding tube is, right? That's when you can't feed yourself, so a tube feeds you. And so that's kind of what we do. So imagine that, like, you are wearing a belt around your waist and it's got tons of tubes. And when you find, a boss, a coworker, a neighbor, two girlfriends, a guy pal, whatever, pickleball partner, and you've identified them as the, I like being around them. They make me feel good in a way. They feed me. Imagine that you get that, like a feeding tube on your belt, and then you plug it into them. And now, in a way, there's this, silent expectation in you. They give to me, and I'm feeding from what they give to me. And people do that all the time. And then that can get to a point where it is, well, it is unhealthy already from the start. It's unhealthy that you would have that. And so I say close the loop, which means unplug all the tubes from everybody in your life. They are not put on this planet Earth to feed you your self-esteem, your sense of self, your confidence in being, and your wellness of being. Now, parents do. I always have to make this one thing. Of course, from 0 to 18, I think typically, and I think it's just and fair to say, it is a parent's responsibility and role to care for and nurture even the esteem and the confidence of the child to help develop them. Okay. But anyway, but so you unplug all the feeding tubes from everybody, and there's only one, and it goes from the belt, and then it goes back, and you have to plug it back into you. And I have to close the loop and feed myself the things that I seek and that I want in relationship. It doesn't mean you can't get still feeling special and feeling seen and loved and adored and even adored and doted on from people. It doesn't mean you can't get that, but that you're not on the hunt looking for that to plug into, that is what you do for yourself. You are the primary. Does that make sense?
100%. Yes,
But so then,
expectations kill your dreams, right? Like it's just expectations are dangerous.
So then in closing the loop, it's like, so I am at 25, 35, 45, 55, 65, 75. If I'm responsible for me to feel okay with myself, for me to feel proud of myself, for me to feel to soothe myself, if I have a bad day, I am the primary. Doesn't mean you still can't call a friend and say, oh my God, could you just cry with me? You can be like that. You can, but you have to be the primary who takes care of all of that. So that's one thing I would recommend. And then and I do have a kind of a takeaway, you know, another thing to do. Is this a good time to say that right now? Another
Absolutely, yeah,
example of it. So
absolutely.
it's called the truth table. It's called the truth table, and that is that when you, so we'll use my example back earlier in the session here. So my husband heard me talk about something that I was really proud about, and spoke more about the subject versus me. And I really, my ego so badly wanted to be seen. Like, no, give me the gold
Right.
star. Don't talk about that. And so what I've gotten very good at, and it's just that once you do it a few times, it'll become your natural, which is the first thing you do is say, so I would have hung up with him and just not said anything to him at all, but he caught me because he's developed these amazing, beautiful relational skills. But I would have hung up and said, okay, Laura, so why did you get upset? Well, because he didn't say I did a great job.
Right.
Okay. So Laura, okay. So one, I'm aware of that. Two, what do you wish he would have done? The second thing on the table is, well, what do you wish would have happened? I wish he would have said, Laura, that's amazing. You're amazing. Yeah, my ego would have loved to have heard that. And then the last thing is, so what do you need right now? What do you need right now? And for me in that moment, it might be, I need to call him and tell him that because I don't want to repeat this moment. And he's my person. So I want him in on this. So that might be what I need. Or it might be, I need to feel like close the loop, Laura. I need to
Right.
feel like I don't need somebody else to justify, validate, and acknowledge. Like, and I
Right.
don't. It's like, I don't need it. And so then I could be like, you know what, Laura, you did a great job. I could go to the nearest mirror and go, you're awesome. Or I could just, good job, Laura. You know, that's I needed that. And but what I actually today, I was just like, you know what, Laura, you're still doing this, but you're doing it less because you didn't have a big emotional reaction to that. You were like quiet about it and understood it. So it's like, okay, so just more of that, Laura. That's what you need. More of, don't bring it up, don't ask him, you know, to go into that question or to into that and cry on his shoulder because he didn't do the right thing. So truth table. What is it that I'm feeling? What is it I wish would have happened? And what is it I need? And just that's closing the loop. That's me working it out right now.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So many people, look at their partner to fill the voids in their life, and we have to talk about why that's not the way to go, because you're right, we need to be able to close that loop for ourselves and feed ourselves what we need to thrive. For me, I always say if I'm wanting to talk about something, I start the conversation with Matt, I just need you to listen. I don't need any feedback. I just need you to listen. And so I make that clear because sometimes I just need to air what's happening and have him listen without providing feedback, because I'm not looking for feedback in that moment. I just need to get it out of my head, right? And then if I'm looking for like a holy shit, way to go, Lisa moment, then I'll say, I'm really excited right now and I'm really proud of myself and I need you to get excited with me. And then I'll show him and I'll tell him what's going on, just to like kind of set him up for that too, because he doesn't know either. Like, he's going on through his own stuff in that moment in his mind. So I like to set it up so that I'm kind of getting what I need in that moment to, so he knows where I'm at as well, right? Does that
That's
make
what I
sense?
call, oh my, that is healthy, that is functional, and that's good modeling, what you just did. It's healthy, it's very functional, and it's good modeling for the relationship and any relationship you're in. I call what you just did knowing thyself, or as the Bible says, know thyself. You know yourself here, and yes, everybody needs to be doing this. I know me. I need somebody just to let me vent. Let me just get it all out and let me just roll in, bud, and they just watch me, right? Whether it's about a good thing or a negative thing, but you know that's all I need. And then sometimes you can say, hey, listen, I need you to grab me by the shoulder. I'm going to talk. I'm going to tell you what I'm struggling with. I need you to grab me by the shoulders and say, knock it off, right? Or you can do this. That's called knowing thyself. What is it that you know here? And that's the on the truth table. What do I need? I need that. And I am going to choose to go to the person in my life, on my landscape, who I think can best serve that. And that's an important thing. Sometimes Matt won't be the person to do it, even though you're like, I'd love that Matt gets 100% of it. But maybe you'd be like, you know what? Nope. In this case, he'd be all right, but this person would be the perfect person for me to go share this with. Know thyself.
Yes.
Know thyself.
I love that you said that because so many people also say and feel and think that their person is the end all be all and the only person. But we need a bunch of different characters in our lives to fulfill our lives, right? There's no one person can do everything for us. So I love that you just said that.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I often give clients, brand new clients, this little quiz. Like in the first or second session, we'll start and we'll get going. I'm like, wait a second, pop quiz. And there's usually
Yeah.
a moment where I give the pop quiz because it's indicative of what they're saying that I'm like, ooh, they need the pop quiz. And I ask them like about three or four questions. And the questions are like, okay, so when you are all by yourself, and you're not doing anything, who is the friend, who would you choose of all the people you know, or not friend, who's the person of all the people that you know that you would choose to be in the room just to share the space with you? They'd be your favorite person to have share the space with you, no matter what it is you're doing. And then another one of the questions is if you did, it's a deserted island question, but not your typical. Like if you were given an island and you're like, go live on it, and it's just you, but you do want to have somebody else for companionship, but also for building the island out. So you're going to work and create and build something. And when you get bored or when you get sick, when you want to have a good time, who's the person of all the people you know would be the best person to be on that island with you? The best person. And then they answer that question. And then I don't know, there's two other ones. But so then people my they'll do their due diligence and go, oh, it'd be my sister. Oh, that would be my best friend. That'd be my
Yeah.
husband. That'd be my husband. And then I say, you failed. I'm like, I go, red pen, ding, 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 ding. And I say, and then they get it right after I do that. I'm like, oh, it's supposed to be me.
Right.
And that's the thing is like, you really need to, in addition to knowing your Matt can't be, your lover, your husband, wife can't be all things to you. But actually, you have to include you on the list of who is my go-to. Because you have to have, and I think you should have the greatest love affair and the bestest of friendship with yourself first. So even above that, I have the greatest love going between me and myself. That is my
Yeah,
truest lover
I
and my
love
truest
that so
best friend.
much. You gave me
Yeah.
chills. I love that.
Awesome. Yeah. It'll totally change the landscape you walk in for the rest of your life. I have goosebumps also. And I mean, I am a product of this. And so, and it helps build so much of your mightiness, your confidence, your assuredness that you're okay. Because even though life throws you so much and it can get hard and messy, you know this because you've cultivated it. But I got you, Laura. I got you,
Yeah.
Lisa. I got you. We're gonna do this. Yeah.
Oh my God, I love that so much. While we're on the topic of, your quiz and stuff, let's talk about your services, where people can find you, and really share with us what you do, and other things, other freebies you might have on there as well.
Sure. So for so long I worked one-on-one with people, but recently I started working just with relationships. And primarily it is, partnerships, marriages, intimate love relationships. But I also do service like when there's a parent-child situation. And typically it's like when the child is about 14 or 15, like that's about as young as I go, to any other age. And then in between family, there's a lot of people who have estranged brothers and sisters or parents. So any relationship that's important to you, I do help couples, any two people in relationship. But because most of my business happens to be marriages or long-term love relationships, who I service really are people who are like, we've been to counseling, we've been to therapy, like your traditional marriage therapy or counseling, and it didn't work. I certainly come from that. My first husband and I went to five different marriage counselors and it didn't change anything. And why I am like why I do what I do is because I built what I wish I would have had with my first husband. And I think there'd be a very different outcome had we done what I've created, because what I've created is it's not about going in and looking at where all the hurt and the problems and the failings and the labels, like the labeling of, well, you come from this kind of family and you had this kind of mother and you had that kind of
Right.
father. which overwhelms and confuses. You already walk in confused, and now you've got more. You actually have more yarn. Like, you know, when yarn starts to like get out of the spool, it's like, now I've got more, and
Yeah,
I want to just
unraveling.
put it together. And so what I believe is that our biggest challenge to overcome in relationship is actually speaking, communicating, and not just listening, but understanding. And this will be a different episode because I have a lot to say about understanding. Understanding is not here. It's not at the head. It's not, what you say is just a message that I got. And I'm coherent about it. I understand the words you said. That's how most people understand. Well, you said this, well, you said that. That is not understanding. Understanding is from the neck down. So when you say, you know, hey, I had a really tough day, and you know, I really thought I was gonna hit this one out of the park, and I didn't. And it's and maybe whether you say this or not, and the better you get at this, the more you can fill in the blanks. But if you were to say, and I feel like a fool and I'm embarrassed, I can understand you now because I know what it feels like myself from my story and my past to feel like a fool and be embarrassed. Now I understand you, Lisa. Now I understand why today was so hard for you.
Right.
That's understanding.
Well, I can't wait to
That's
talk
what I
about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about that on a future episode. So, where can we find you? Where can we find you?
Yeah, so currently my lauraburkeycoaching.com is my website, and on there you will find the different ways that the different types of conversations I can help couples have if they just have like a one-off need. Like, we don't really need a whole lot of, you know, work or attention on our relationship, but man, there's this one topic and we just cannot have a good conversation about it where we actually
Right.
get, you know, from point A to point B, you know, or when we do, it sends us in our own corners and then we have, you know, resentment and frustration. So I offer some of those type of ways to work with couples, and then also a longer program that really helps couples identify patterns that are creating disempowerment and disharmony in their relating and in their culture and in their environment, and help them identify those, dismantle them, and then construct new patterns by new agreement and just new ways, new understanding of how to do this. Now, that sounds like a lot, but it's really, of course, I'm going to say this is fun. I love doing this, but I do. I make it pretty efficient and pretty easy for people, you know, to redirect their relationship.
Yeah, and I know for my relationship and so many other relationships, there are those topics and those fights that are just constant. Like you have the same conversation a million times and nothing ever gets resolved. So I love that you said that you can help people kind of find a new way to get through that.
Yeah, because sometimes it's just, hey, you know, and I have couples who even come to me like, hey, we're good. And they really are. I mean, they've got their things like
Yeah, it
built, but
doesn't
they're
have to be a big problem. Yeah.
yeah. And so, and all I help do is facilitate where I really help each person just like really be in a state of receiving what your partner's saying without personalizing, you know,
Right.
without any kind of, again, kind of that impaired view or judgment of them. And then often because we do speak different languages, I do a lot of helping people, like, so this happens a lot. The husband will say something, or the wife, it doesn't matter, the wife or the husband will say something, and then I can tell, because I've just done this long enough, I can tell it didn't land. Because
Right.
there's always a little bit of a something changes, like and it relaxes when it lands. Like, I get them. But if
Right.
it doesn't, they still have kind of that like constricted kind of tightness. And so I can
Tightness.
just
Yeah,
tell.
that's what I'm.
Yeah. So I'll ask the one who was receiving the message. I'm like, did that land? And then they're kind of like, no. And I'm like, and then I'll ask the person who just spoke. I'm like, can I take a stab at this? Can I say what? Because I can decode and I can hear. And so then I'll say it in different language. And then they'll be like, oh, and then I'll see the thing. And that just happens to be, I'm a word freak. I've been doing this for a long time. And it is just something I have that skill. I can change the wording so that it lands. And then just by the husband or the wife, in this case, let's just say the husband, seeing that, he's like, oh, and he learns, oh, I could use different words to say this. And it just opens up his capacity to communicate. It's like, oh, there's another way to say it. And I tend to actually promote, speak like a first grader. Use just let it come out of your mouth, the words, very simple, versus spending the time to try to make it sound sophisticated or smart or I know more than you, like, because sometimes people do this and it's like, just make it super simple. It hurts me when you say this and I feel like I'm in trouble again. Just say it like that, versus, the way a lot of people talk.
The way a lot of people talk, yes. I always tell like experts to talk to me like I'm in grade three. Yeah. Because especially if you're an expert in what you do, you're gonna always explain in those high level terms. But I love that.
Yeah, and they mean well because they're like, I want you to know how much I know, but you know what? It
Yeah.
doesn't land. It misses
Yeah.
because it's like, that's too, it's too, the vernacular I don't get, So
Yeah.
yeah, exactly.
Well, I love that. So before we wrap up today, why don't you talk to our audience and leave them with like a closing remark on resentment? And if anyone's going through that in this moment when they hear this episode, what would you tell them?
Yeah. So what do you call it? It's a oh shoot, because I love them so, an paradox. I love a
Okay.
paradox. The paradox, by my definition and how I understand what a paradox is it's two statements that are both true, but they oppose each other. Okay. And so a paradox I live by, and I think this is a really smart thing anyone in relationship and whatever kind of really just with the world, your interaction with the world and all people. We are all so different. We are all so different. Anyone listening to this can hear anything I shared and be like, I don't have any of that. I don't talk like her. My husband wouldn't do that. I would never do that, whatever. I didn't, and that's, yeah, of course, because we are all different, but yet we are exactly the same. All of us are the same. And this I know for sure from all the work I've done and all the private one-on-ones I've had, from literally millionaire CEOs down to a cab driver in New York. And here's how we're all alike. We all feel sadness. We all want love. We all wake up every day hoping today's going to be better, just better. We all have a dream. We all have feeling. The feeling is the feeling. So, like, we humans, we've been given this great spectrum of feelings. So joy is joy. Sadness is sadness. Now, the story of your sadness and the story of my sadness won't be the same, but we both feel sad. So if you can remember that we are different, like, yeah, why are they doing that? See the differences, and that's okay. But you are exactly like this person. So if you can start, and I do this, like, I will sometimes when I'm standing in line, or waiting for something, instead of looking at my phone, I'll just watch people and I'll be like, okay, what could that person be feeling? Or I'll go, I wonder what sadness with that man across the street, I wonder what sadness feels like for him, like where he feels. And when I do that, I feel a real human to human connection versus man, woman, his name is Jason, my name's Laura, whatever. He's 75, I'm 65, whatever. I just look and I'm like, I wonder what sadness is like for him. And it immediately makes me energetically feel like like the spiritual thing, we're all one. So that is what I would say. Remember, we're all so different, yet we're exactly the same, and that it is our feelings that connect us. That's what connects humans, because we all have in common the feeling, the emotional spectrum, but we don't have anything else really. I mean, some people we do, but not really, because we all have such a unique life. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. Yeah,
Okay.
we're all human. We're all doing the best we can, and we all go through the same thing, and we all need the same things,
Yeah.
essentially, to
Thank
survive
you.
and thrive. So,
So
well,
I think
I
in
am
short,
just.
oh, I just want to say this, just in short, when you look at a person, start instead of like whatever's the first thing you think, you notice them, you judge them, whatever. Look at a person and go, either they feel or I wonder what they're feeling right now. I would condition that. That would be a great thing for people to do.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for being here today and for sharing your knowledge and your experiences. We love it so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you so much. I enjoyed this.
Awesome. And to our audience, thank you for tuning in. That is Laura Berkeley, and she's going to be back in the future talking about so many other things regarding this topic. But yeah, if you're holding onto a resentment, maybe today's the day to really look at it and dig deep. Until next time, I'm Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor. Bye for now.